You look at this Leafs roster and you compare it with the six other North Division Canadian-based teams. Where do you think the Leafs should be when we hit mid-May and play regular season game number 56?
Well, I like the changes they've made. I put them as second-best team in the Canadian division for me. I really like the changes they made. I like TJ Brody. I like Wayne Simmons. I like Joe Thornton. I like Zach Bogosian. So all upgrades in areas where they needed him. Again, I question the fit with Joe Thornton. Not that he fits in everywhere. He's a wonderful human being, but I question whether that addressed their biggest positional need with their last bit of cap space. But I like the changes they've made. I think the team they're playing is the best team in the division.
How so?
How so?
Yeah. What makes Montreal the best?
Well, I like the changes they made better.
Yeah. I wonder how, Brian, they're going to manage their goaltending situation, you know, with Price and Allen. How would you approach that in such a compressed schedule?
I think they're in the best position of any team in the league, goaltending-wise, in terms of being able to pick when Carey Price plays enough games to be sharp but rested for the playoffs. But they've got a capable guy to put in any time that they think Price needs a rest. The schedule that you see today is not the schedule that we're going to play. There will be COVID outbreaks, there will be positive tests, and the schedule will get even more compressed. And the league has built in days off to accommodate COVID-19 outbreaks. So that schedule that you see, as compressed and as awful looking as it is, will be even worse.
With Brian Burke, do you think load management, Berkey, could extend beyond goaltending this year, which of course you have to do anyway? You got a 50-game guy and a 30-game guy, typically how it is now. But do you think it will extend beyond goaltenders to players and not just guys Joe Thornton's age? Could we see guys in their prime getting nights off in an attempt to avoid soft tissue injuries?
I think you'll see that, but not right away. And I think it'll be tied to some kind of nagging pain. In other words, I don't think a healthy, even a 40-year-old, is going to ask for days off, even in this compressed schedule. We've always given players load maintenance days, but they're called practice days. I don't understand the NBA where they say we're going to give this guy a night off. Give him a night off when they don't play. Let him skip practice. That, to me, is just as grueling as a game. And so, to me, we've done load management. The year we won the Cup, Sammy Paulson didn't practice in the conference finals or the finals. He was too banged up. Never practiced once. And that was our load maintenance with him.
I'm just thinking, with all the games in such a compressed period of time, and you're pointing out, Berkey, it's likely to get even more compressed once COVID cases crop up and all that. Just 10 and 17. That is not quite a baseball schedule, but it is closer to a baseball schedule than a typical hockey schedule. That's just...
Yeah, and you're going to see guys go to the coach and say, look, my groin's a little sore, where he typically would play, and he's going to take a night off. So I'm agreeing with you, but I don't think a 100% healthy guy is ever going to ask for a night off. That's not how we roll in our business. I just don't believe it.
And you trust players to be honest about how they're feeling?
Yeah, I do.
What about minutes?
I think they generally will lie to play. But I think in this schedule, especially where you've got a taxi squad, they've got healthy bodies right there. It's not that difficult to recall someone. It's not expensive. So, I think you'll see the odd guy take a night off, but usually with some kind of cause.
Brian, what else catches your eyes? Opening night is here across the league. What are a couple storylines that you really have your eye on?
Well, I think the notion that it's exciting because the Canadian team's going to the conference finals. That much is guaranteed with this divisional format. That part's exciting. That hasn't happened in a while. And I think there's a lot of excitement and optimism in Canada, which is mostly warranted. I think most of the teams are getting better. But the notion, like even your reaction, Adnan, like, why? Why would you pick Montreal over Toronto? That's a typical reaction in Toronto. Like, these people are... I saw someone the other day out on Bay Street checking the railroad bridge to see how high it was to make sure the floats could get under it when they have the parade. So, I mean, this is the reaction here, is that we have the best team in Canada. Well, I don't think you do.
Now, hold on. Can you have a parade in a COVID world? I mean, you know,
appropriately distant.
A little bit of sarcasm, Adam.
Nah. You could put 5 million people ideally spaced. We could run it all the way up to Vaughn.
Yeah. No, I watched yesterday's press conference at 1:30, and I have no idea what the rules are anymore. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, people in Toronto, I think right now, think the Leafs have made positive changes, and they have. And they have a really good team, and they're going to be fun to watch. I think they're really explosive. But I think the one thing in a hard cap system, this is kind of endemic through the whole league, but with the Canadian teams in particular, I'm struck by how top-heavy all of the contenders are, and therefore how thin all of the contenders are. I truly think if you're one of these elite teams in the Canadian division, you're one injury away from catastrophe.
With Brian Burke. So going back to the Leafs changes, and I don't think it's a 100 one way, zero the other way, but if you were to ratio this, Berkey, some of the changes that have been made around the edges, if you will, to the Maple Leafs, the veterans like Thornton, Simmons is not on a minimum deal, a mil and a half, but he's not getting paid a lot. How much of that was just based out of necessity due to the cap versus actually wanting to change the personality of the team, that you could, you needed a different type of player than what Kapanen and Johnsen were giving you versus the fact that they were both making $3+ million a year on the salary cap?
Well, I don't think there's any issue with either of those two players. I think the Leafs were happy with Johnsen and with Kapanen. I think they just felt they needed to move the cap space. With Simmons, they're bringing in a proven leader, a gritty guy, a vocal guy. Like that's a good move. Putting him in your dressing room is a good move. Adding him to your lineup on the ice is a good move. What I think has gotten lost in the translation is everyone says, oh, they added Wayne Simmons. Well, they didn't. They just replaced Kyle Clifford. So there's no net. You could argue which one's tougher, but there's no net gain in toughness other than a few percentage points. So they took one tough guy out of the lineup, put another one in there, albeit a character guy who I really like, and they brought in Joe Thornton, who is an upgrade on any team in terms of the dressing room. The guy, after 20-plus years in the league, still has a joy for the game, still is able to keep guys loose. I think a really good addition. I just question whether he's in the right spot, playing first-line left wing, and whether he can keep up. And I do question whether it was the right use of their last little bit of cap space, because I think I would have used it for some more grit. You look at Ottawa's coming in here. Montreal's coming in here with Edmondson and Anderson. They got tougher. Ottawa got a lot tougher. You know, they added Watson. They added Brown. They added Gudbranson. I mean, I think the Leafs in game 2 and 3 are going to see what the new-look Ottawa Senators look like, and they're going to wish they had more toughness.
When you talk about, and this is totally qualitative versus quantitative, but when you talk about being a good guy in the room, what can Joe Thornton be for his higher profile, much younger teammates?
Well, I think just talking to Kyle yesterday, I think the positive aspect of his outlook on life, and I've talked about this a lot, I think sunny guys, upbeat guys, bring sunshine to a room that's often dark. Players are crabby, grouchy, the schedule's hard, the coffee's not good enough. They bitch about everything. And when you get a guy who doesn't bitch and really sees that today's going to be a great day, Teemu Selanne was like that for me. Brad May was like that for me. These guys walk into a room and they bring some sunshine in. And Joe is so respected, and he's a winner. I've heard people say, oh, let's go get a guy who's got a ring. Oh, Joe doesn't have a ring. Well, he's got Olympic gold. He's got lots of championships. He's a winner. And so, to me, I get why they brought him in. You're at the grocery store. You got a buck and a half left. Are you going to buy a cake, like something frilly, or are you going to buy beans that you need to have for supper? I think they should have bought some beans.
Mm. Depends. If it's a chocolate cake, I might,
I might go for it. Yeah.
I don't know
about your taste, Brian. I'm more a dessert guy than a bean guy.
It was an analogy. I hate to waste it on YouTube, but I think the listeners get it.
Yeah, and just keep us apart 2 or 3 hours after the beans. I wonder, too, is we're just guys with microphones in front of our faces and we yell into them. But is Thornton a value that way, that he can grab a Zoom call that would otherwise be assigned to an Austin Matthews or a Mitch Marner? And Berkey, you know us, we're like moths to lights. Maybe Thornton drops something in our laps that distracts us and we chew on it for a day or two, and then we're not looking at the actual issues with the team if they're going through a tough time or whatever. Is there value in that?
Yeah, a little bit, but that's that. The media never gets off the scent of the trailer. If the team's struggling, a good lighthearted interview with Joel Thornton ain't going to save them. That's never. It's the same thing. I would try do a rant about something and get them off the scent. It never worked.
Well, the Colton Orr thing worked for a day, didn't it?
Well, a couple days.
See?
But it's not. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if the team's struggling, the media's going to focus on the struggles, and I don't think a lighthearted interview from T.J. Brody or Joel Thornton's going to change that.
So, Brian, when you look at this Leafs team, you say they're the number two team behind Montreal on paper. What other Canadian team should we look out for that we may not be paying attention to right now?
Well, I think Calgary really improved, and I think they picked up the best goaltender who was available, and that makes a huge difference because that was an Achilles heel for them in the playoffs. I think that their entire report card is going to be written in May. I don't think it matters what kind of regular season the Flames have. Now people are going to say, we're not grading this team until we see the playoff performance because they've had two subpar performances in a row. And some of their key guys have had two subpar performances in a row. So I think everyone's going to give them an incomplete till they see what the playoffs do. But I like the changes they made. I really like Chris Tanev coming in. I like the fact they're using Lindholm at center. So they've got two lines. We've got some balance and got some depth. Edmonton is right there with Calgary for me because of the two big guys. And I think they've got question marks too. But as long as they got those two big guys in the lineup, they're going to be a problem. Vancouver's top-heavy, young stars, really gifted, but not deep. Winnipeg's steady, but they had injuries in the playoffs last year. It was fatal to them. And Ottawa's the most improved team in Canada, but not there yet.
Is a team like Winnipeg, who could go either way, is that just contingent on Connor Hellebuyck backing up his incredible year last year with another one?
Well, I think he's that good. I don't know if he can play like he did last year. Last year was highlight reel after highlight reel, and I think they won 8 games where he had more than 35 saves. I recall that stat from the playoffs. I don't know if he can duplicate that, but even if he's 90% of what he was last year, they're going to be in most games because he's that good. But just, again, question marks. Laine wants out, supposedly. Roslovic wants out. There's some question marks there. They have not improved their team much the last two off seasons like other teams have. So I predict that they'll be a good, steady team. I really like Winnipeg. Who doesn't like that team, right? But I don't see them being a playoff factor.
So, Berkey, you no doubt have kept your calendar open for April the 12th because you're probably going to do 8 or 9 hours of TV that day. That's the trade deadline. What do you think the trade deadline will look like? What kind of content will you be covering that day? Will there be moves or will, especially with cross-border trades, the COVID rules cause issues there?
Well, I think a number of GMs I talked to told me that they expect different COVID rules by April. They expect a shorter quarantine for players coming over from the U.S., 7 days, 6 days, 5 days. And you remember, for a while there was that quick quarantine in Calgary. If you tested at the airport, it was, 48 hours? Mm-hmm. So they expect a shorter quarantine. If we can bring COVID under wraps, obviously it's exploding out of control right now in the U.S., but their anticipation is a different quarantine period. If there's not, they're going to have to make that trade 14 days before they want to use the player. Because if it doesn't change, that's the thing. And after the deadline, they've only got like 10 games. So it's like, you know, there's not much left after the trade deadline. I think there'll still be activity. I still think it's irresistible. If you think your team's in the hunt, you're going to go out of piece. And every year I talk about this, more mistakes are made at the trade deadline. 20 teams will add a piece to try to get better. And I checked yesterday again with the NHL. They're only going to award one Stanley Cup this year. I checked.
It's funny how that remains the one consistent, huh? Year after year?
Yep. I check with them every year just to make sure they're not changing the rules on me.
Yeah, I hear you. Brian, one last thing. I know this is a feel-good day and, you know, I always say with baseball, time begins on opening day. But brutal news story this week with Evander Kane. The Shark star reportedly has filed for bankruptcy. He's being sued by a bank. As a GM, as an executive, I know the NFL has a rookie symposium for all draftees and undrafted guys coming into the league. How much education is given to players coming in about all the pitfalls that could exist for a pro athlete, for a rich pro athlete, for a young rich pro athlete coming in? And what are some of the messages that organizations that you've worked for, that you've run, passed along to some of these kids who get a pile of money at a real young age?
Well, the NHL's program is every bit as progressive and just as advanced and just as good as the NFL's or Major League Baseball. They all work together, actually. The leagues work together. They've actually done videos together to show players scenarios, real-life scenarios where they get approached at a bar, wrong people, wrong place, etc. So I think they do a good job of that. And I don't know Evander Kane other than to say hello to, but this sounds to me like he's got an addiction issue. And this is something that if we were aware of it on our team, I'm sure Doug Wilson was too, not initially, but once you become aware of the magnitude of the problem, you've got to get counseling for the player. Addiction to gambling is no different than addiction to alcohol or drugs. So it sounds to me like an addiction issue. Hopefully they can fix it. Bankruptcy is designed to discharge debts like this. Hopefully they can get them back on the rails.